Good music, good singing, and good spirit. And so let's pray it's a good message. Let's don't mess it up now, Tony. You know, that's what I pray. Lord, don't let me mess this up. You know. Yeah, we got to do good on this. One thing I wanted to say to you, and I started praying a while ago, was on those crosses. Everybody took the crosses, and Clarence made those, but he said he's more than willing to make you one if you want one. And everybody see them, what I'm talking about? Did you see everybody see those crosses? And hold one up, and yeah, there you are. It's the wire, and it's really neat. There you go. They're really neat. And if you want one, let him know. He'd be glad to make you one. Those went pretty quick. It's a hot item today. Yeah. And you can donate to the church if you want to. Yeah, you don't have to, but we won't stop you if you want to. And so, yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's right. So we're going to move into just a two-piece here, and we want to talk about the cross and the resurrection, of course. And we'll use Matthew today. You can read this in Matthew, Luke, all these places. Pick where you want, and I suggest that you look at the different perspectives and the different gospels and put it all together. And so we're in the midst of all this happening. There's so much I want to bring in a message today. There's just so many insights. And we talked last week, and you say, well, I wasn't here last week. Well, that's okay. And I don't ever mind sharing with you what we talked about the week before. But we just talked about the Jesus, and when he there with that meal, that Passover meal, and he took the meal and he transformed it into something, you know, different. And he said, you know, this is the cup, this bread is my body, which will be broken for you. This cup is the blood of the New Testament, which will be poured out for you. And then he went from there to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I want you guys to remember this, you people, all my people, all to remember this. And then he moved into the garden, and we talked about the garden and what it meant, and how we all need a garden experience from time to time. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane, we read these stories, and we need to have our own place where we prepare ourselves for whatever it is we have to face. I'm trying real hard up here not to ever be any doom and gloom kind of thing. If there's something I try to bring before you that I'm concerned about, that Lord's put on my heart, I do that, but we always want to have a positive conclusion to that. There are a lot of people, and you do what you want to do. They call themselves prophets and so forth, but they're prophesying today, and you can, you know, you pick them up on YouTube, internet, and they're prophesying all these bad things. But you know, when I look at God's word, there's always redemption at the bottom of it, at the end of the deal. It may be horrible. It may be God's going to do this and this and this and this is coming. But there's always room for people to repent. And that's the good news. No matter what the prophecy, no matter what the tough part, there's a place where God's always saying, but if you'll turn to me, if you'll come to me, if you'll stop right now, if you'll just open your hearts to me, you know, this judgment doesn't have to come. And I'm believing that for this country. I'm believing it very strongly that now's the time, and as we go into this message and read these passages, that it's here. It's upon us, that we're going to have to just say, you know, I've got to really take this serious, of being who he wants me to be. And I've got to take it serious. What happened to Jesus? How he was treated? And he rose from that? And because, friends, they're out there, there's a bunch of theys, but they're trying to get us. And I don't tell you what you know, about taking things, doing things, but here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see a national registration based on whether you've taken a vaccination or not. And that taking the vaccination is your business between you and God. And I don't tell you what to do on that. But what I will tell you is I do not want to be a card-carrying communist and have to prove that I belong to the party. Okay? That's what we don't want to do. And if you think I'm being a little bit, in the right field, that's exactly what's in the wind. And no, I don't want something used as a qualifier for me to be accepted. You know, Tony, you can't fly on a plane, you can't go shop at the grocery store unless you show proof of this, you know. And I would turn around and say, I want you to show me proof that you believe in Jesus Christ and that you believe in the Constitution of this country. I want you to believe this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You show me your card that you believe in that and that God comes first. And if you can't show me that, I know this is Sunday, so I'm trying to be real nice. If you can't show me that, then take your other identifier and shut up. And that's the way I feel. You know, I'm not, no sir. So as we come into this, I want you to look at the price Jesus paid. And yes, we'll celebrate with the resurrection, but he paid a price to free us. Don't you dare let a human being or the institutions of man take that freedom away from you. Don't you dare. And don't you dare let religion take it away from you. There's a lot of religious, so-called religious institutions that sure do take people's freedom away. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And, you know, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. And I love that freedom. I want to choose. Even if my choice is a wrong one or a bad one, I still want to be able to choose. But today I'm telling you, the best choice, the wisest choice, the choice I'm just pushing, encourage you to make, is if you don't know for sure you know Jesus, then dead gummit before this is over, get him in your heart. Ask him in your heart. You know, it's not that hard. And do it. So let's work into Matthew 27, having said all this, just leading into this, but it's absolutely serious. And so Jesus is arrested. He goes to the garden. He's praying his heart out. I mean, and it says he prays, as it were, great, and his sweat was like it wasn't. And I've heard that represented wrongly, and you have too. He sweated blood. No, he didn't. He sweated like drops of blood. It was coming so thick. And anyway, he went agonized through it about what he was going to face. And then they come and they arrest him, and all these people bragging. You know, this is another thing. All of his disciples there were bragging about, even Peter the worst, right? Lord, I don't care. Even if these others run, I'll die for you. And off they go running into the night, fleeing for their lives, and they leave Jesus standing there alone. That can happen to any of us. God never promised you that people would stand by you. He promised you that he would stand by you. And you don't stop your mission because your people flee into the night. You keep going on, even if others around you are falling by the wayside. And that so often we're looking to see if everybody else, you know, where's the crowd? Listen, if you're going to go with the crowd, you'll be wrong about 99% of the time. You walk with God. And if the crowd is with you on that particular endeavor, hallelujah. But you stay where God wants you in his word, and don't be looking for a crowd. And so here he was, and they took him, and they did their worst, and they turned him over then to be mocked and prepared for his crucifixion. That's where we come into it now. He's this man. What's he done? What has he done? He didn't go around killing people. He didn't steal. He didn't even come in there and tear the temple down. He just preached about himself. I'm the promised Messiah, and I've come to help you. What's the worst he ever did? Think about it. And the answer is, he didn't do worse. He did nothing wrong. He was sinless. He laid his hands on people and healed them, raised the dead. I mean, what are you going to say about him? And that's exactly what twisted them hard. Because, you know what, listen to this. The Pharisees wanted to be looked at as the people that could do this. They wanted to be the miracle workers. They wanted to be the ones looked up to and respected. And everybody's starting to look to Jesus. And it's taking away their religious, you know, notoriety, their religious power. And they came at him. And so they pushed this thing to crucify him. So in verse 27, we'll start there, Matthew 27, some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus. This is a New Living Translation, so it'll read a little more modern. But I like it for the way it reads in this. And the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters, and they called out the entire regiment. They called it the praetorium, and it was their headquarters. And they called out the regiment, and they stripped him. And they put a scarlet robe on him. And they wove thorn branches into a crown. And they put it on his head. And we know all this, but we hear it and we don't let it come in, accept it for what it is. The mockery here. They're mockery. Oh, he wants to be a king, then we'll give him a crown and we'll stick these thorns in his head. And they were just having a good old time with this. And they placed a reed in his hand, a reed stick, in his right hand is a scepter. And they knelt before him in mockery and taunted him. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Oh, here's the King of the Jews. Yeah. And they spit on him. Listen to me. Of all the things that can send a person into an instant rage is to be spit on. Being slapped is another one. For me, somebody hit me with their fist, and it's not as big a blow as somebody slapping me. And I know, we'll go into the weird of that later. But being slapped for me just sends me, and I want to go into that instant place. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. But being spit on, just something about it. That's the nasty of nasties, and everybody in this room to identify with this. I doubt there's a person here, if somebody did that to you, that you wouldn't want to rear back. And I mean, with everything, I don't care whether you could win the fight or not, you'd want to do something. That's, well, he, you remember, he's fully God, but he's fully human. And if you don't think that he felt that something crossed his mind, that's why he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. See, the battle, the self-control was won in the garden, not here. It's the preparation you make before you have the encounter that helps you win the encounter. If your heart's not right with God, if you're all out of whack and you're mad at people and angry and distorted and blah, 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 and caught up in all the stuff, then something like this happens and you lose it because you weren't prepared for it. That's why, friends, we can't be captivated. We can't be taken captive by all the junk around us. We've got to bring our hearts back and focus like he did in the garden, so that when this time comes, and listen, he said, if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. I pray that none of you ever have this. I pray you never know. I pray that people aren't mocking you or spitting in your face. But friends, there are people doing it right now. It's just you haven't felt it yet. They're mocking God, and they're mocking you and me as God's people. And they're daring God to do something about it. And I want to tell you something. God's not motivated by dares, but God will do something about it. You just hang on. And that's why we're here today. And so they spit on him, and they grabbed the stick, the reed. They struck him on the head with it. That's another thing I'm not real fond of. And nobody... You raise up in the kitchen or something, and you pile that one of those little drawers or the cabinet doors into that the corner of it into your head. Anything hitting us in the head, I don't know, that sends a flame soaring up above your rooftop, doesn't it? Probably more cuss words have been uttered over a bumped head than anything I know. It's a loss of control issue when that happens, you know. And so they, you see this, we can identify with this. They did all the things that is absolutely degrading to a human being. And if you put yourself in that situation, what would you have done? I will tell you now. could I have, I mean, yeah, you're surrounded with these guys, so they're going to, you know, they're going to beat you to death if you do something, but they're beating you to death anyway. Would you have tried to elbow one of them, or you struck out? Yes. When they're spitting in my face and striking me on the head, something makes you rear back and you're going to at least get one of them. He stood there and he took it. And then they put his own clothes on him and they take him off to the hill to be crucified. And you say, you're really driving at something here. I'm saying we can identify when I put it, we just put ourselves in that position and how somebody's spitting on us and doing all this. And why did he take it? Because he wanted you and me to be here today. And he couldn't lose his cool. And he had something bigger than his pain. Don't you see? You can overcome. And you can face these very same things if there is something bigger than your pain. And what was bigger than his pain was his Father. And his calling. His mission. His mission to save you and me. And he took this. He stood there and took it, not because he was a sissy like he's painted in his little robe and his sandals. He took it because he was one big man of God, and he was just one big man, period. Big in heart, big in purpose, big in calling, big in mission. And he took this stuff because he wanted you and me to believe in him. And we needed to see a Christ who was bigger than his pain, bigger than the Romans, bigger than the Pharisees, bigger than the system. And if this is hopefully echoing a message, I hope it is. That's what God's calling us to be bigger than the system, bigger than the pain, bigger than the people around us. Because right now, there's a lot of people, even in high positions, who are very small. And God wants us to stand strong no matter what they do. So anyway, that there it is. And so that we focus in on this. And you know what that, what it, you know, this whole thing, this torturing him, then putting him on the cross. And there's a handful of people down there who followed him and supported him. And then there's the soldiers gambling for his clothes. No feelings at all. Just doing what they're ordered to do. And then there's all these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people out there just laughing and mocking and can't wait for him to die. Now, isn't that a great scene? He's dying with more enemies than he has friends at that moment. You ever think about that? He's got a handful of people there who support him, and a whole mob of people who just can't wait to get rid of this guy. I don't know how in the world he cried out from that cross. I couldn't done it. But he did, see, because he was bigger than what was going on around him. His purpose, his calling. When he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Could you have said that? Well, I have to bring this word, but I have to tell you right now. Yeah, and unless he really did a work on me, to, no, I'd be thinking, any time, Lord, you want to bring fire down, and it's okay with me. But he didn't do that. Forgive them, they don't know what to do. I can't handle that. That's bigger than me. And that's what this whole thing is about, isn't it? That's why we're here. He's bigger than we are. That's why we come to him. He's bigger than we are. He's bigger than our issues and our temper and our problems. And he's bigger than our government. And he's bigger than the things in this world. God owns the world and everything in it. He's bigger than anything we're encountering right now. And all your sadness and your suffering and your anxiety and your stresses and your hurts and pains and sorrows and worries about tomorrow. He's bigger than that. That's the God I want to serve. The one who nailed to a cross after all the junk that these people have done to him. In their wickedness, that can still say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's my God. That's my God. And his call to us is to be like him. I got a long way to go, but we're still trying, aren't we? We still keep trying. And that's what this whole day is about. Let me tell you what the cross and all that this that they did to him. Just a few things it shows. It shows that when people's power is threatened, what lengths they'll go to keep it. Look what's happening today. It shows what people will do when their power is threatened, or their money. It shows the hurt and the inflicting of pain and the tortures and the mocking and all that. It shows the destruction that people can place upon other people. You know what else that it shows here? You know what the cross really reveals? It reveals just how bad religion without Jesus Christ can be. You ever thought about it? It shows blatantly, openly, glaringly in our faces the religious crowd out there wanting him dead. Crucify him. Hurt this man. Kill this man. It shows what religion without Jesus will do to you. So if you know anyone that's in a religion and Christ is not the center of that thing, help them. Get them out of there. Go in there and introduce them to who really loves them. We need Jesus to save. Well, you know, we need Jesus to save us from. We need Jesus certainly to save us from sin, from evil. Well, the cross really shows how evil people can be without Christ. But you know what we need Jesus most of all for? To save us from, ourselves. Every day I need Jesus to save me most of all from me. Are you one of those people that get you every once in a while you just get into your own head? You ever do that? Like leave you alone for 5 seconds and you get into your own head? The problem with some of you is you think too much. Problem with others is you fantasize too much. You write these fiction novels in your head. We all do it. You ever going just driving down the highway and all of a sudden you're writing a story in your head and you left all happy, but by the time you get where you're going, you're mad? Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. We're laughing because we do it. And we work ourselves up into a lather and nobody did anything. You ever been going to meet someone, maybe someone that you're not sure about or whatever, and you work and you have this thing going in your head, and by the time you get out of your vehicle to meet them, you're ready to grab a 2x4 and beat them up? Before a word's ever said, and we wonder then why it turns out bad? And we just get into our heads and we write these stories. We do all this stuff and we need Jesus to save us from ourselves. I don't want to stay on all that old bad stuff. We got the good stuff. Tell you what else this cross reveals. They put him up there and there he is. And you know, you look at him and we use the cross for a symbol and that's okay and we have him here. But as you look at it and you think about the cross, you let it reveal to you, let it remind you of just how far Jesus is willing to go to show his love for us. It's a real Christian thing, always has been, to say, yeah, I love you, brother. Love you, sister. You know. But it's another to show it. It's another to give of yourself to the point. You know, what did Jesus say? To give your life for another, over in John. Greater love can no one show than to lay down their life for a friend. Doesn't mean you die, but you lay it down, willing to. It shows how far he's willing to go for us. And right now, this morning, some of you need to be reminded, all of us do, that Jesus is willing to go that far in his love for us, to show his love. He's willing to suffer meanness and cruelty and hatred of people just for us. He's willing to be abused and disrespected in order to be our Savior and Lord and our friend. And he's willing to take our sins on himself so we will not be judged. That's what this day is about. That's what the whole cross resurrection experience is about. It shows him up there on that cross, his willingness to forgive us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. How many times has Jesus spoken up for us, do you think? Each one of us before the Father. And said, Father, they're covered under my blood. They're forgiven. They believe in me. It shows his willingness to give us his heart and set us free from sin and the law and ourselves. And then we walk into the tomb and the resurrection. The tomb's an ugly place. The cold, dark place for death. And that's where they put him, and everybody was happy, and they sealed it. Huh, but God had a plan. I don't want to veer off here and too far, but I want to say this. This tomb, when I get there, when I study about it, and I read from the message, that tomb experience reminds me, and I know I've said this before, but it just can't help it, because Jesus was put in a tomb, sealed off in darkness, and that's where they wanted him to stay. And an angel of the Lord came and rolled that stone away, and Jesus came out. That's the beauty of this whole thing. But it prompts me to say this. Christian people, family of God, Jesus walked out of that cold, dark, lightless tomb. Why are so many of God's people still living in tombs of their own making? We live in tombs of grief, disappointment, anger, despair, depression, discouragement. And we have a God who can send his angel to roll away that stone. You just need to ask him and be willing to let that happen. We get so comfortable living in our tomb, we become afraid of the light. We don't know any other life but darkness. And this is the day to let the God who rolls away stones roll away the stone of your heart and bring you out of your tomb into the light, and you have a resurrection experience. Study this, and the Lord just, it's like, Tony, there's many tombs, and I want my people brought out of the tombs. I brought Jesus out, and I'll bring them out. I just want them to realize they're in a tomb. They don't have to be there anymore. You don't have to be discouraged the rest of your life. You don't have to be in fear and panic and anxiety and worry and upset and all these things. This is the day to realize God rolled away the stone. He did it through his angels. He sent them, roll that stone away. And it was all sealed up so that, you know, nobody could get in there and steal Jesus. And then there was nothing. Just broke those things apart, and out it came. And he can break your bondage. And he can roll away your stone, and he can bring you out of where you are, just like he brought Jesus out of his tomb that day. This is freedom. This is life. This is resurrection. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to kill and to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it what? Abundantly. And it's time to start living and appreciate this. Don't let this just be an Easter service. Let this be a resurrection experience for you today. Let Jesus Christ come into your life. Let him bring you out of the tomb like God brought him out of the tomb. That's what he wants to do. Too many things, too many religions, too much government has tried to put Christianity in a tomb. Come out. Come out. Be alive. Oh my goodness. Listen, God wants to give us the life that's been taken from us. He wants to, just like he did with Jesus, he wants to roll away our stones that seal us in darkness. He wants to lift you from despair and emptiness to light and to life and purpose and fullness. Listen to me. And he wants to destroy the enemy's strongholds. And the things that the enemy has gotten a hold of you with in your life, he wants to break that power like Jesus broke his power that day. God can overcome your scars of pain and abandonment and rejection and cruelty and even suffering from the loss of someone close to you. God can heal your pain. And he can bring you out. And he doesn't make light of it. And many of you to be healed, if you just let God right now embrace you with his love and hold you close. If you just let him whisper in your ear and hear it in your heart, I brought my son out of the tomb. I raised him from the dead. And I can bring you out of the tomb. I can raise you from your death. I can lift you out of your pain. I can deliver you from your sorrows. I can set you free. Let him. Let him. He's come to give us life and give an abundance. Let me wrap this up with this passage. We've got to read the passage. Early on Sunday morning, this is Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow, and the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Some guards. I will have to say, though, if I was put on guard duty and that happened, I'd probably be right there with them. I'm saying, I can't beat this one. This is way up. Don't you see? Do you get this, though? Do you see the power of God in this? That's exactly what God can do for you. And by the way, for those enemies of yours who are standing guard trying to keep your life in prison, God can do the same thing. He can knock your enemies in the dirt with his holy presence if you just give him a chance. And then the angel spoke to the women. This is it. This is our word right here. Whatever you're facing and going to face, don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. And the greatest, listen, this greatest verse we can ever have for all of us. This is what Easter comes to the focus on right here. I know you're looking for him. He is not here. He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. He is not in the tomb. He was not stolen away. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he did it for you. Isn't this great? This is what it's all about. And he said, come in here. Come see where I add words I like. He said, come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you'll see him there. Remember what I've told you. And I add this part because it just adds a little more to it. We have the dramatic thing at the tomb. But the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus, now see, this is why I want to include this. Because we need to take it just this extra step for some of you Thomases out here. Saying, okay, the angel said that, but, okay, no, here's the but. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. So here these girls are, and they're first to the tomb, and they're first to see Jesus. And they got the real experience here, didn't they? They got the angel and the whole bit. And so they fell at his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they'll see me there. And then you can read all the rest of this here in the other Gospels. And he appeared before them and the whole thing. But here's the thing. The devil is the one behind all this stuff. He's behind what's going on right now. He's trying to use a bunch of people. His antichrist, anti-God, anti-church spirits and people are working and trying to control us through government, control us through whatever. But it's the enemy. Always remember, instead of focusing on people, come against the enemy. Break his power. Come against him. And so he put Jesus on that cross, and he was so foolish to think if he killed the Son of God, he would be the Lord of this earth. You see, the devil doesn't know everything. Don't you ever think that he knows it all. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. So what happened? He kills Jesus, and I've got it made. Little did he know that his killing Christ was the most stupid thing he could have ever done. And I want to tell you this. By doing that, Jesus goes in that tomb, and then he comes out. He rises from the dead, and the devil has no more power over him. Get this. And when you put your faith in Jesus, and you ask him in your heart, Jesus Christ is in you, your hope of glory. And if the devil doesn't have any power over Jesus to keep him in the tomb, and you ask Jesus in your heart, he doesn't have the power to keep you in the tomb. He can't get you down. He can't keep you from doing God's will. He cannot hurt you, friends, because you belong to the living God. Your body is his temple. You are the church of Jesus Christ, and he has risen. And he's alive, and he is in you. Let's pray. Father, if anyone in this place has never said yes to you, God, open their heart right now. Say yes, Jesus. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. I want this resurrection experience. I want to be saved. I want life and life in abundance. Friend, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. I ask you in my heart to be my Savior and my Lord forever and ever. I put my faith in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you pray that prayer. God bless you all. Bless you. Keep you. Make his face shine upon you. God, did I forget something? Oh, there's an Easter egg hunt out here. Well, I didn't even know about that. You know, where's it at? Out there. I was going to run out there. Well, I was going to ask you to pray, and I was going to run out the door. So that's it. You know, right there. All right. So we'll bow for prayer, and I'll excuse myself and go get an Easter egg. So anyway, God bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine on you. The Lord lift his presence. That's what his countenance is, his presence upon you. But most of all this, God give you peace. The peace. He's alive. And if God is for you, no one can be against you. Right? Go get him. Live life abundantly in Jesus' name. God bless you for being here.